Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We welcome the author, Brendan Weikert, author of The Prescient Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower, and the new forthcoming Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy. We're looking now, however, at the question of China's capabilities in the event of open conflict in East Asia. A headline from The Diplomat tells the story. China prioritizes three strategic technologies in its great power competition. What are the three? Space, near space, and orbital space, AI, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing communication. Brendan, a very good day to you. Thank you for joining. Your book, Winning Space, anticipated all of this. It's a moon race, but this time it's a Taiwan race. How is China's presentation these days of artificial intelligence and quantum computing communication? We can see space, but we can't see those. Good day to you, Brendan.
Good day, John, and thank you for having me. And hello, Gordon. It's great to be back. I would just like to first point out that the Australian government has released a report in the last couple of months that showed that China is dominating the world in the development of 37 out of 44 of critical new industrial revolution technologies, with obviously AI, quantum computing, space, as well being some of the big, most important ones. But China's presenting, unfortunately for us, as I've been saying for several years, they're presenting very well. And there's been a lot of talk that you know, China's in decline, and maybe in the long term, they certainly have some negative population, you know, factors that are going to start hitting them by the end of the decade. They've got some, you know, potentially bad economic aspects of their economy that could bring them down or lower them a peg. But right now, and I think for at least the next several years, China is on the ascendance. They have figured out how to compete with the United States in the high technology domain. And furthermore, now they're starting to take that competition, and they're now starting to escalate and actually start to out-innovate, as that Australian think tank report indicates. And so there is this report in The Diplomat about the race for AI, the race for quantum computing, the race for space dominance. And as I noted in my book 3 years ago, Winning Space, China is getting out ahead of the United States in these critical technologies. It's key to understand quantum computing is the next revolution in overall computing. It is going to do for computing in the next century what the advent of the silicon-based computer chips did in the previous century. And that's why also the race for AI is important, because artificial intelligence is all about data aggregation. And so under current paradigm, there's certain limits imposed to that which AI can do. But if you potentially marry that to quantum computing, you marry that with cloud computing as well, you now have given the AI a really incredible capability to achieve some of the more extraordinary things that AI enthusiasts have been calling for. And China has the capabilities today, they've got the know-how today, and they're developing the links with research universities everywhere, including here in the United States, and even gaining access to funding from American corporations to be able to achieve sort of this cross-sectional dominance in AI and quantum computing, which will also, by the way, translate to space warfare capabilities in the form of swarm satellites, in the form of better surveillance capabilities, and beyond. And so this is game-changing, and China has us by the nose.
Gordon, you have a question for Brendan.
Brendan, China is well ahead of the United States in quantum communications.
Yes.
How do we stack up on quantum computing?
Well, it's important to note that, you know, when you let innovators and innovation go on unimpeded or relatively unimpeded, they tend to kind of feed off one another in unintended ways. So China recognized early on quantum computing is going to be a big deal And what happened was they then spun off from investing in quantum computing to investing in quantum communications. And they ended up in China getting an advantage over us because we didn't really understand how quantum internet could revolutionize communications, basically using quantum entanglement to send highly encoded, rapid, massive amounts of information in one burst to somewhere else, anywhere else on the planet. And China's now got an advantage over us on that. And so that's going to be a game changer because China, a few years ago, got French and German companies to back them in investing in expanding these quantum communication capabilities. So now China is ensnaring American allies. And the reason that the French and the Germans were so interested in doing that was because they were angry at the Americans for using the NSA to basically eavesdrop on their communications in Germany and France. So there's geopolitical implications. Obviously, if the Chinese could displace America's 60-plus year dominance in the telecommunications space, they can basically knock out American signals intelligence superiority, which has been really America's silver bullet when it comes to intelligence capabilities. All that money we spend on the intelligence community, it's not really being spent on James Bond or Jason Bourne. It's really being spent on that technological signals capability, which China could potentially displace overnight, relatively speaking, if they can gain a dominance in quantum communications, which, as you know, Gordon, they're very much more ahead of us than we are.
Brandon, quickly, near space, before orbit, and then orbital space. There's speculation that the Chinese high-altitude balloon was preparation for near space communication and surveillance in the event that the satellites are taken out. Our satellites, their satellites, all satellites in orbit. Do you credit that explanation or a possible explanation of the balloon technology?
Yes, and at the time in the Asia Times, where I occasionally write, that is something that I had said the balloon was all about. China has been using these high-altitude balloons. They're usually built by Huawei, the components. China's been using them in the South China Sea to monitor covertly U.S. naval movements since 2010, I think, or 2011. And so this balloon that went over the United States was merely an expansion of that program that has really been pervasive in South China Sea, and they're just scaling that up. And another thing they want to do is use those balloons to intercept satellite downlinks from U.S. military satellites and allied satellites operating in low Earth orbit. And that's precisely what I think this balloon was doing, was that it was hovering near, I believe it was Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, which is, of course, a key nuclear weapons facility. And I think what they were doing was trying to intercept downlinks coming from our key nuclear command and control systems, or going to and from the base to those nuclear command and control systems, to see what the readiness of U.S. nuclear forces were, not just abroad, but at the home front. And that is a very troubling idea, that we wouldn't have shot that down immediately, because this has been happening. By the way, I've talked to sources in DOD off the record. This sort of thing, not as explicit, but this sort of thing has been going on for several years. The Chinese have been sending these smaller versions of these balloons into the United States, but this was the most explicit, and I think this is a much greater proof of concept, and we let them get a lot of data, as has been reported. They actually got data back from that balloon before we shot it down in China. So this is, this is part of a larger problem, and that's exactly what the Chinese are going to use those balloons for, is when the space war begins, they're going to knock out satellites of ours. They know we'll probably retaliate if we can. They still are going to need those capabilities that satellites provide. Well, these balloons provide an alternative that's much cheaper and almost as reliable.
Gordon, you have a question for Brandon.
Brandon, just a couple days ago, the U.S. military released photos of a practice launch of nuclear weapons from an aircraft. Do you think that was in response to what you were just talking about with the Chinese balloon trying to interfere with the satellite downlinks?
I would not be surprised if that was, both we and China are much more concerned about that possibility of one side being able to disrupt nuclear commanding and control and communications, NC3 functions. Those are usually, though, found in very high Earth orbit, but there are some lower Earth orbit satellites that do provide some assistance to those capabilities. Both sides are very concerned about this because they know that, particularly in America, our triad that we rely on for deterrence, the land, sea, and air nuclear weapons capability, that only works if those satellites are operational. And if you can knock those satellites out with a cyber attack or an anti-satellite attack, it's going to be very difficult for the Americans in particular to retaliate. But also the Chinese know that we could do something similar to them, and they're worried about that as well. So both sides are going to be dancing around the nuclear genie for a while, because we now have these capabilities out in the open. And I think actually this is why both governments, when you see these unidentified aerial phenomenon stories coming out, the real reason that China says what we're seeing in our airspace is American technology, and then we say it's Chinese technology, it's because that's part of a larger problem both countries are having, wherein both countries now are going after very sensitive nuclear capabilities that each has, and it's highly destabilizing. So this is where we're headed, and this technology that China is pioneering, my goodness, it's going to give them a lot of advantages over us, because we tend to think too expensive and too big in America. China's thinking small, and it's getting them actually ahead further, because these balloons are cheap, but it gives them a lot of capabilities and options they otherwise would lack.
Brandon Weikert, author of The Prescient Winning Space, new book, The Shadow War. He's also a biohack, China's Race to Control Life. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.